You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is 8 o'clock, our outdoor living hour, second Saturday of the month, and we have ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower shimmying down his Arizona rosewood tree this morning. You've got this one shaped up like a tree. You could do a tree or a shrub, but nice tree shape you've got here. You've been working on this one for a while.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to shimmy up your Arizona rosewood very often. They only grow to about 10 or 15 feet in height, but they're a beautiful shrub tree. And the reason it's kind of has a designation as one of our favorite trees is because it's not only native to Arizona and Mexico and California, but it's really bulletproof. It's one that if you are going to plant a native tree, you have some degree of confidence here in Arizona that it's going to be well adapted. If it's been for millennia developing an ability to handle our kind of temperature extremes, you know that you're going to have a pretty easy time maintaining it. You know, people always ask us, you know, should we always go with native trees? Not necessarily. Arizona has a big, wide plant palette, and we have a lot of introduced species from all around the world that do well here. But if you do have a chance to put in a native tree like an Arizona rosewood, you won't be disappointed because it's going to be well adapted to our soil, to our weather. And this one is one of our favorites because it's evergreen. It's, as I said, bulletproof, has very few natural enemies, no pest or pathogen problems. And it's really popular as a replacement tree for the oleanders, which, as many of you know, are subject to the bacterial leaf scorch, which has wiped out a lot of our oleanders around Arizona. And a lot of people are looking for a suitable replacement plant. And these Arizona rosewoods are well known as kind of a hedge, a nice hedge plant. You can plant them on 2 or 3 foot centers, and they provide a nice privacy screen because the foliage is nice and full at the bottom. And as I said, they're evergreen, so they're not going to lose their leaves, and you lose your privacy screen. If you put in a deciduous tree, of course, that's not going to work. But Arizona rosewood are a really nice option for those of you who've taken out some oleanders or contemplating it because you have that oleander leaf scorch. Arizona rosewood is a pretty nice option for that.
And it's a pretty green. It's a dark green.
It's a rich dark green. Darker green leaf, and they're kind of slow growing. This is the one drawback. You know, if you want something that's going to be a little faster growing, you might consider putting citrus in or possibly hop seed. Those are two other good screening plants that grow a little faster. But if you're willing to wait a little bit longer, the Arizona rosewood is slow growing, but it's has a persistent, nice dark green leaves. Actually, there's a little bit of a bloom in the spring too. It's not a real pronounced flowering shrub, but they have nice little white flowers on the branch tips in the spring. But they're mainly known for its dark green leaf and a nice thick privacy screen.
And a lot of times, slow growing is people look at that as a negative or a deterrent for something. But oftentimes, the slow growing ones are the most hardiest, durable, and longest lasting.
That's right.
A lot of times, that's your best choice.
Sure, and for that reason, they don't tend to outgrow their landscape purpose, like some trees. They reach their ideal height and spread in your landscape. And you wish you could just freeze them right there and say, okay, stop. But then they continue to grow like many of our hybrid Palo Verdes and mesquites. Before you know it, you have a tiger by the tail and you have an out-of-control plant that you have to be constantly trimming, investing a lot of time and energy and money into keeping under control. And Arizona rosewood, just like the live oak tree, it's a slower-growing tree, puts on wood more slowly, is a little more contained and controlled. That's why I like to recommend them because they are a little slower achieving their landscape purpose, but once they reach it, they don't tend to exceed it very, very fast.
If you'd like to talk trees, you can get on the line right now and talk to John Eisenhower at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com.
You know, one other benefit of a slow-growing plant? It doesn't have as big of a litter problem. You know, and it makes sense because if it's putting on wood more slowly, it just isn't dumping leaves all the time. In fact, this tree is known for having leaves that persist for 2 or 3 years before it will drop those leaves and put on new ones. And they're a thick, leathery leaf, and the tree puts a lot of energy into creating those leaves. And as a result, they persist on the tree for a long time, period of time. So if you want one of those low litter plants as well, for that reason, Arizona rosewood's a pretty nice choice.
We do get asked about that a lot. What's a plant or a tree that doesn't produce a lot of leaf dropping?
Yeah, look for those slow-growing trees like the mastic, the pistachio lenticus, you know, which is a very popular smaller tree. Again, because they're slow-growing, they're not turning over those leaves as quickly. We have trees, you know, that are seem to be dumping leaves all year long. Your African sumac and your mesquites. They're just, you know, constantly dropping leaves and putting on new leaves. But that's the benefit of a fast-growing tree. If you're willing to, if you like that idea of a tree achieving its landscape purpose quickly, well, you have to realize the trade-off is that you're going to be going to be a higher litter-producing tree. So you're going to have that leaf litter, and often the blossoms, and then of course the seed pods, which can follow. And if you have a mesquite tree and you're nodding your head right now, I'm sure, knowing that it almost seems like every season of the year you've got something dropping out of your mesquite tree. If it's not a leaf, it's the blossom. If it's not the blossom, it's the seed pod. And then by the time you get your last seed pod raked up, it's time for a new leaf drop, you know.
Or that sap that stains your car that you can never get off.
Yeah, the slime flux, that black liquid that oozes out of some of our desert trees, like your mesquites especially. But I saw a lot of slime flux in a willow acacia yesterday, and it's just as bad and ornery. And yeah, that can be a cosmetic and a problem if it's dripping on your driveway or your pavers or your pool deck. And there's some solutions for that, by the way. We do have a chemical application. We can put it's a phosphorus-based a product that can actually dry up that slime flux. And you might want to contact us for a little more information on that. It's a great product that actually gives us a couple of years of some relief from that slime flux.
Well, I had always called it sap, but now I've got to retrain my brain to call it slime flux.
Doesn't that sound just great?
Sounds like something from the Ghostbusters movie.
It is. Slime well, flux. It is a mild bacterial infection, and it looks for a place to express that out of the nearest available weakness in the vascular system. It's generally out of a pruning cut or a narrow angle of attachment between a couple of branches. And wherever the pressure builds up inside the system due to that infection, and it'll start pushing some of that black liquid out. Sometimes it's, you know, you'll see it even in our native trees. It's not that serious an issue. It generally doesn't affect the long-term health of the plant, but it can be a bit messy if you're over a landscaped area.
We are in November. What's on our tree calendar here?
Well, you know, you think that by the end of the year, you know, we're kind of running out of topics because of the time of year as plants tend to slow down. But gosh, the fall is in Arizona is still a time when we do a fair amount of pruning and fertilization, especially fertilization. This is our time of year. If you're going to do an annual fertilization, we recommend a fall fertilization. But this is our application window for late season fertilizer. And it's a great time to get some fertilizer down. We always let our tree owners know that trees use the stored nutrients in the fall and winter for a very strong push of new growth and their blossom in the spring. Sometimes if you end up fertilizing in the spring and summer, you're chasing a nutrient deficiency. Whereas fall fertilization, the research has shown, is probably your optimum time for fertilizing because, as I said, the plants use those stored nutrients in the fall and winter for a really strong push in the spring. And they hit the road running, so to speak. You don't want to wait and be chasing that nutrient deficiency by fertilizing too late into that early year. So this is a great time for that for fertilization. my seat's collapsing on me here. What happened here?
Fall fertilization.
Yes.
And can you do that to every deciduous and evergreen?
Well, you can fertilize all your trees and shrubs this time of year. Great time. But as far as pruning is concerned, you want to kind of lighten your dosage of pruning on any of your frost-sensitive plants as you head into the cooler weather. That would include your citrus, any of your flowering trees. You want to kind of be careful that you're not pruning too heavily. There's a risk, too, that, you know, if we do get some frost and you've taken off some of the outer branches, the frost will damage the plant deeper into the interior. So you want to leave your frost-sensitive trees as full as you can. You can do some minor grooming on citrus trees even this time of year. If you've got a citrus tree that's rubbing up against the roof or it's crowding the sidewalk, you know, you can certainly trim those back a little bit to give yourself some clearance. But don't do any heavy pruning on your citrus trees until next spring. You don't want to be taking off their winter coat just when we're turning the corner into the colder weather. But there are a lot of plant trees that we prune pretty much year-round. Your more vigorous trees like your mesquites and your sumacs, your olives, trees that are putting on a lot of growth, and you just can't make it through the a full season without a little bit of trimming. We actually recommend on some of our heavier growing trees, like those mesquites and others, because they get pruned in May and June as kind of pre-monsoon trimming. This is kind of a six-month, kind of an annual second pruning this time of year in November. And we'll often do a little bit of pruning this time of year and then again 6 months from now.
We're talking trees, 1-888-767-4348.